Blog Talk Radio.
Coming through tonight, and I'm very excited. There's a lot of callers already, and I'm really jazzed about that because I intend to bring everyone who's on this call tonight to a place of a higher state of love, of being. And so I have a lot of callers. I'm going to put Jorday on right away because he's here as a co-host. So I want to welcome you, Jorda the Artist.
Hello, Ananda. It's Jorda the Artist here. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing on your road trip?
I'm having an amazing experience. I've been all over the country and now to New Mexico tonight already. And just everywhere. I feel like I've been all over this planet numerous times, I think, this evening already, as a matter of fact.
Oh, see, Jordy tends to go all over the world in his mind, which is beautiful. And so he does it through phone calls and sometimes in a car, and sometimes he just plays mind games with himself, which is absolutely beautiful. And that's really where I want to go tonight with this call. And I want to start with the concept of really being self-realized, to be in a state of knowing that everything in our perceptual reality is based on what we feel about ourselves. And so it's really about, tonight's call is about taking full responsibility for everything in your perceptual reality. How do you feel about that, Jorge?
I couldn't agree more. I think that if anything, after this last, you know, I've been on vacation for my most of this month, and I literally have been all over the country, and I've also done exactly what you said, and I guess you could call it mind games. That's an interesting way to put it, but in a way, it is. It's like sort of testing your own limits of your own mind to see what you truly realize. Because if you truly think you realize certain things, then you can test yourself. And the answers might surprise you. Sometimes you'll find that you didn't realize anything at all, and sometimes you'll find that you are exactly correct with what you've realized. But you don't really know until you do a little bit of a comparison this way and that.
Yeah, and what I want to do is I want to give a little example of the beliefs and what power they have within us to make manifest what we believe about ourselves and our world. And so I just want to say that in The Course in Miracles, which is the path I've lived for the last 20 years, and it's very beautiful, and it's no different than any other path. And as a matter of fact, it says all paths lead to the same place, which is, you know, home to the remembrance that we are one with God. You know, and for me, it's God is, I am. And I try to stay in that mindset because for me, I really feel that when I allow the true state of God to come through me, which is pure love, I'm in ecstasy all day. And it's not about circumstances. You know, so I wanted to share that, and I wanted to just open with this little section here from A Course in Miracles, and it says, your state of mind and your recognition of what is in it depends on what you believe about your mind. Whatever these beliefs may be, they are the premises that will determine what you accept into your mind. And then it says, when you believe something, you have made it true for you. No belief is neutral. That's very powerful. No belief is neutral. If I'm getting feedback, tell me if you hear it on the call, because I'm going to try to be as clear as possible. And again, there's really a lot of people online, so I don't want to keep the call in verbiage too much, because I want to do one-on-one sessions. But the reality is, for me, what I assume in consciousness becomes my reality. And for a lot of us who aren't conscious, who are just still in the mindset that, you know what, and, you know, it is what it is. And no, everything is what I would have it be. And so that in the, and there's a few people on tonight that I've invited on that I know that are on the cusp of such great change that they are longing and desiring so much to awaken the truth about them. And so what I want to do is I wanted to share one more thing, and then Jordy, you can, you know, elaborate if you want. But the fact of the matter is that the subconscious mind, which is the programming that I was fed throughout the primary years of my being, actually determines what I'll see until I awaken to the present moment and realize that what I see out there is not what I am thinking and feeling. So what I'm thinking and feeling in consciousness doesn't often play its role in my reality, because what I'm seeing is the old in the present moment, and I'm buying it and I'm allowing it to really take reign over my existence. So the disease that people, you know, everybody's got a cough today, you know, that cough came into being because there was a belief in the mind of the perceiver that said, I can get sick. And there's some people that are in poverty right now that are really struggling with their finances, and they're saying, you know what, it's the world conditions. Look at this. Because of this world, look where I am. And then there's other people that are suffering because they feel they lost a lover. or they lost a spouse, or they lost a parent or a child or whatever, and they're saying, oh, my God, if it wasn't for that disease, if it wasn't for that circumstances. And the fact of the matter is, when you start realizing, when I started realizing that I have the power in me to change and transform anything, which is the biblical teaching of Jesus Christ, which I think is profoundly beautiful. So when I really understand that by my beliefs is my experience, that what I believe to be true, I make manifest, I start watching my thoughts and watching the feelings that accompany those thoughts. Because those thoughts are the arrow, and my feeling tone is the bow. And if I am off the mark, which is the only sin there can be, when I'm off the mark, I will create that which I don't want in my world. I will make manifest the dis-ease circumstances that many right now on this call are experiencing. And tonight, I choose to transform my reality and therefore transform yours. So tonight we're going to do that. We're going to do sessions one-on-one. It will be life-transforming. I promise you, you will not think the same after tonight. Jordan, what do you want to add to that, love?
Well, you were mentioning earlier about that you said something that was very accurate. And I don't mean to be judgmental, but it is accurate because you said that no belief is neutral. And that is correct. No belief is neutral. However, if one is to truly live a neutral existence, which is possible, there is an answer to that, which is to have no belief.
Right. That's the ultimate.
And right. And that's actually what I've been practicing, and it's actually possible. It's the way that I see things, which is an extension of how you see things. I take it a step further, and I do this for the purpose of my own meditation. And for my own sense of peace, because I really like peace. To me, peace is the ultimate answer to everything that could be construed as a problem. And the trick is to realize that there is no answer. There is no right choice. If you realize that there's no right choice, you don't have to make a choice. If you don't make a choice, you're neutral. If you're neutral, you're simply at peace. And it's not to say that that is always the, quote, correct thing to do in every experience on this planet, because we're in a social dynamic, because that's the other part of my belief, is that I, in a sort of a flip to how you see things as I am, I see things as we are all the fractured whole self, that God himself, God itself is all of existence, but in a rather fractured sense. And by seeing things that way, what that means to me is every time I come upon a new person or a new existence or a new creature, a new tree, a new plant, whatever, I'm experiencing another reflection of the entire self that I am. You understand? I am. I say I am, but I see that that other person, that other thing, that other existence, that cloud in the sky is also equally part of who I am. And by seeing things in that fractured way, it allows me to be non-judgmental, because I realize I cannot speak for that cloud. I cannot speak for the person across the ocean right now who's also having their own thoughts. I can say to myself that it is totally my choice how I want to feel about whatever else is going on in existence. And I can say that all of that is only a reflection of me, because I am half of it. But the other half of the reflection is everything else that we reflect off of, the mirrors that we reflect ourselves off of. So
what I believe in this particular show, it is about I am, because I cannot change a circumstance if I still see something outside of myself. And that's just my belief. And for me, it works, and it works profoundly. So everybody on the show tonight will get an opportunity to see that they can no longer point outward and expect change. The only change that occurs when I go within and change it within myself, I be the change to see the change. So everything you're saying is absolutely divine, because we are all in fact one. But from the perceiver perspective, I know that I can move everything around. As I change my mind, my world changes. So what I'm going to help people do tonight, and I would love you to join me, Jordan, is see the facts as I see them from the eyes of the perceiver, who really is the watcher or the God I am in each one of us, because each one of us are gods in our own mind. our picture and our universe reflects back what we feel about ourselves. This is absolute. To me, there's absolutely no other way. Because if I can't see it, if I see it, it's mine. Everything in my reality is contingent upon my feeling tone and my thoughts. And so is it the same for you and everybody else on this call? So in order to get out of the victim mindset and pretend that there is a collective outside of me, and really there is no inside out, but for the perspective of the listener, which is aspects of the mind, I am, you are, we all are, because we're all here as one, just to allow them to experience what it's like to actually transform their physical ailment here and now. Why? Because they can. And it's not contingent upon whether they take the medicine, whether they have the lover, whether they have the job, whether they have anything. Everything can be done within. And when it's done within, it automatically manifests outside. Automatically when we become conscious. But we have to, for me, I have to stop looking to the past for my answers and looking for the demand for my love and looking for the job for my finances and looking for the hospitals for my health. My teaching is of the Christ, and he said, follow me back home to the one. When I go back home, there is nothing but neutrality, and everybody's dancing divine. But there are people on call tonight that are suffering, and I want to help those aspects of me to release that suffering, and they can't do it if they don't know they can't. So that's what I want to do right now, and I'm going to open up to the first caller, Jordan. You ready for it?
Yes, absolutely, and you are correct.
All right. Hold on 1 second, love. Let me just, I'm going to mute us and let them on. I mean, mute you for now, and then I'll bring you right back on. Hello, 772, who am I speaking to? Who's calling? From 772? Okay, let me go here to see this next person that's waiting because, again, I don't know who's wanting to talk and who's not. Hello, who's calling?
Hi, it's Sabrina.
Hi, Sabrina, honey, and how are you tonight?
I'm okay tonight.
Is there anything you want to work through?
I'm sorry?
Is there anything that you'd like to work through tonight, any obstacle or block that you feel?
Well, I have somewhat of a debate, and I'm trying to choose my words carefully and not say things like debate. The thing about the cloth that you had mentioned, if you imagine I have a cloth, then the cloth comes to be. Now, here's my perspective on it. For example, I have a type 1 diabetic child. I understand the belief, not believing, and all that. I just think in actuality in this world that we live in, he would be type 1 diabetic. However, the ramifications of it may be things that I manifest because of the stress that I'm bringing into that environment. I don't know if you're following me.
I follow you completely, and please understand that. And I'm going to try to do 5 minutes with everybody. That perspective is your perspective, but he has his own perspective. And his own reality is calling in that which is. He's not a baby.
Well, like I have a brain herniation that I was born with. And
right. When
I had the epidural with him, I became symptomatic. And they were very tangible, you know. They
all right. So we're going to go back into just mind dynamics. Let's just go into mind dynamics for tonight. Just bear with me. We're just going to pretend that we come in as an energy form, and that energy form is deficient on some level because we come back again because it's simultaneous reality is happening as we speak. So we're walking into a reality which we call, you know, the womb of mommy, and daddy, you know, did his part. But the fact is everyone's matching everyone. Every energy is coming together because it's all the same. And when I come through that vessel, which is what I really talk about, I am is my experience. We can call it a baby, we can call it a thought, we can call it an energy, whatever. But everything was completely compatible for that baby to be born through you too. And then it mirrors back to you. And you all play this bouncing game. It's like a ping pong game. But in reality, it's all the same issue. And you may wear it as a mental disease. Your partner may wear it as a financial distress. And your son may wear it as a physical malady called diabetes. But it's all the same. When I get that I can, in fact, change my reality by changing the way I think, changing what I allow to take residence in my mind. It changes the dynamics of that family, and everyone changes.
That's kind of my point. Like, we can't ignore the fact that we don't live in a disease-free world, and I don't see, you know, children with leukemia as something that they, you know, projected upon themselves or anything like that.
But you're not getting what I'm saying then. Then you're not really getting what I'm saying, because it's not about a child. It's about spirit. It's about energies coming in. Whether they come into a body called you, Sabrina, or they come in as a body called, you know, circumstantial, you know, evidence, will that happen out there? It cannot happen unless that energy matches the same. So let's take the bodies out of it. Let's make believe there's no mommy, daddy, and child, just an energy formation, whether it be a storm in the sky or whether it be a disease.
And there you're right. There is no disease. But, I mean, like, to get through this embodiment of our spirits, we live in a pretty diseased world. And I'm only trying to get, like, to my point with this. I have the power to either let the circumstance destroy me or strengthen me.
Right.
And that was my
right.
choice with my Chiari malformation. If you get an MRI in this planet, go to a radiologist, you get the MRI, my brain is swollen into my neck. However, isn't that miraculous that I'm still here, I'm talking to you, I'm walking?
Well,
I exercise, and just recently lost over 30 pounds.
All right.
So, come back to
this is my past. What I'm trying to do here is to change the way people think so that they don't have to live in any of that. And is it magical? It's a magical experience.
It is, and that's why I want to come full swing and say it does start from within, because you make the decision that day. Every day you wake up, you make a decision to fight or, well, I like to say let go or give up, because I couldn't fight
right.
it. It is what it is. It is done. Now go live your life. So, yeah, it's a struggle.
Right.
It's hard. Maybe people don't understand, and I can go on the pity
right.
party for hours, but it did me no good. It actually worsened me. It made
right.
me
but what if the disease would disappear? What if there was a possibility that that disease could actually leave your physical body right now? I mean, do you buy into that?
It's
do you
funny
understand
because
that
I've
that
had
happen?
Actual friends tell me that I'm alien. It's just the way I was born, and it's the truth. What's weird for me is this is a congenital birth defect. I'll always have it. But I didn't have pain until the age of 19. So my belief is that I'm going to beat it by reversing the symptoms. I don't see
and
it.
How are you
like my son.
Give us an example of reversing the symptoms, Sabrina. Give us an example, because you're right on track. So what would it be for you to reverse the symptoms?
Like, one of the things, when I contemplate, Larry, let's say you twist and fall and you hurt your ankle. Put ice on the ankle, so you're already starting to give it power. Now, you're thinking about that ankle. That ankle will hurt you more and more that you give it power, that you're thinking about it, that you're concentrating on it. So basically, I keep myself busy on the abilities, not the disabilities. Like, that's
beautiful.
What I was concentrating on, the disabilities. And
I
totally forgot I had abilities.
All right. Beautiful. And you know what? You're in the process of undoing the doing. I broke my leg about 5 years ago, my ankle, which I talk about a lot, size of a football. And in the process of it happening, I was walking a bridge with a partner of mine at the time, and I fell off the ledge. I was doing yoga, like a yoga meditation. I was following
wow.
him. I fell off, and I was in absolute agony for a half an hour, sitting on the ground screaming, "This is not part of my reality." And I actually went back into the field and reconstructed my ankle. I didn't fully buy it consciously for a couple of months, but I did not go to a doctor. You never know there was a problem with my ankle. And that's how I deal with situations. But now that I know what I know and I become conscious in a more regular state of being, it doesn't even have to appear. It doesn't have to stay past the blink of an eye. But the fact is, as long as we believe that we need to heal it, then we need to heal it. We believe we need doctors, then we got to go to a doctor. But we can shift that belief here and now. We could truly
right.
change that reality here and now and say, I am perfected. I am the child of the Most High. I'm the heir to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, take your circumstances, follow me. But they did. The parts of him that were around him picked up their bed. They threw down the crosses. They put the mud on their eye, whatever they believed in. But they went back to peace immediately. Some were a little bit, took a little bit longer. But my intent with this call is to show everyone the power they have to transform anything. Your finances do not come from outside of you. Your healing does not come from the doctor down the street. You're giving him the power that you believe in. You're giving your job the power that you believe in. Your worth determines what you see. And I know that everyone here is God himself pretending. Of course, the miracle says special love, special hate, or we can be in the happy gym, or we can be in hell. And I choose moment to moment, as Jordy would say, to choose, and Jordy, you're open, to choose the peace and love of being one with God. The God-realized state is everybody's dancing. I went to Zumba last night, 100 people in that room. And I think that Sebastian might be on this call. It is a profoundly beautiful, no one's coughing in that room. No one's in complaint for that, over that hour, that entire hour. There's nothing but bliss. And you know why? It's consciously deciding to stay in the moment with the passion of love, the passion of the dance. And that's part of what you're saying, Sabrina, because when you really get that to stay present in the life form, in the breath form, to know that it's all about the evolution of love and the evolution of passion, which is Jordy's ultimate trip, because that's why I even, you know, brought him in when I did, because he represented for me the most beautiful aspect of creation himself, bringing forth the murals, you know. So, I mean, everybody on this call tonight are in the same place. We're all in the same place. It's just a matter of who wants to get it when. So, Jordan, you want to add to that, hon? Any of that?
Sure. When I was just paddling down the Cheat River for 25 miles on an overnight trip, which was absolutely euphoric, just my brother and I, it was just a nice little stroll, really. But it was 25 miles. It was great because we did it as an overnighter, but the next morning on the second day, I woke up and my right wrist had a welt that was forming on it, on the top of it. And, you know, I could see it as a welt. I could say it was something that was an injury if I wanted. I could say that the fact that my fingers on my left hand, I couldn't feel anything, was something that I could notice. I could say that I had no strength if I wanted to. But the fact is, I had to get in that boat and paddle about, I don't know, 10 to 12 miles that day.
That's cool.
The wrist that appeared to be sprung, you know. So, you know, I made some adjustments in my hand positionings while I was going along. I mean, you have to understand, I was in a single boat. There was no other person paddling. It was just me and very little current for some of this. And, you know, it was definitely an example of, I mean, you can say, was I adding to the injury? You could say I might be, but you could also just say that it was just a change in my body structure, that my energy that formed that particular form in my physical being was changing into another shape or whatever. That's about as far as I thought about it. And, you know, my wrist for the next few days had different changes and different sensations and whatever. It wasn't exactly what I'd call comfortable. I wasn't like what I would call pleasurable, but I wasn't looking for it to be pleasurable. I was looking for peace. And by just acknowledging that that's how it was, like Sabrina said, that's just how it is. It was just a peaceful part of me. It didn't matter what other reality there could be. That was the only reality that I had.
Right. And for me, when I worked in the AIDS arena, which I told you guys that I did, you know, I would see transformation. People would be walking in with all kinds of diseases. I never caught it. My husband never caught anything. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, like really communicable disease if you believe in that mindset. But we went to such a high level of love that we didn't allow anything around us to affect us. We became the director. We became the, which I shared with you earlier, the curator. You know, you actually manage your day. The daily method of operation has nothing to do with a physical thing. It's I am keeping my mind in God's care, in love's divine dance, and everything that happens. I remember in the beginning of my path having headaches, which I never got, but I guess because I was doing whatever. It was so bad. And all of a sudden, I would just go into the moment, and the headache actually turned to bliss. I mean, I actually lived in a state of bliss watching the formation of what could be what people would call a migraine headache. And then it would just dissipate. Because once I accepted it, as you guys are talking about, it changes. In my experience in doing the work I've been doing for the 20 years in time, which is only right now, I've seen a lot of people that accept what I have been sharing, and they have seen immediate transformation. And there's others that say, you know what, I have a belief system that still says I got to use medicine. There's a belief system that says I still have to do a detox. I still have to go to a job. I still got to whatever. And you know what, those very beliefs is what bringing time into play, because there is no time. In the field of infinite potential, there is health, wealth, everything happening in your reality right here and now. And just because you took your attention off it doesn't mean it's not there. So as I take my attention off the disease and I put it on the pot of gold that's in front of me, it changes everything. Now I can't see a physical body in disease because it's not there anymore. Attention determines what I will see in my physical manifestation of being. And whether it is, as I said, a physical disease, a crisis in a relationship, a loss, supposedly, you know, every time I reach outside looking for something which I did on the road when I was hydroplaning in the mindset in the Smoky Mountains in the rain, in the dark, and I was in terror, and I heard, you are not driving, just be still, and no. And after that, I was in total peace the entire time, because I'm not driving my car. I am not doing anything but allowing God to experience through me what it's like to experience. And just because I experience cancer doesn't mean I have to keep it. Just because I experience a love relationship doesn't mean I covet it. Everything that comes through me, I need to accept and let it go, like a parade. Oh, my God, what a great show. Oh, my God, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. And that's where I'm at. But, again, there's aspects of us that are on this call that aren't in that same kind of mindset, or maybe they are, you know. I mean, not who am I to say from the perspective of me it's like that, but I'm going to invite the next caller on and see what they will have to say. Hello, this is area code 347. Is that 847? 847 or 347, one of the two. Who's calling?
Amanda, I think Hello? It's me again.
All right, honey, hold on one sec. I think we have someone up here. I think it might be Lydia. Let me see. Hello?
Yeah, 808. Hi, honey.
Hello, 808.
You have
welcome home.
Here. It's Lydia.
Hi, honey. Welcome home.
Welcome. Welcome to you. Hi, Jordy the artist. Nice being together, the three of us again. And I'd like to welcome the caller and all the callers. I would like to address something about the caller. I feel that you're right on, that you get it, you understand. It's a perception. You change it, you start seeing your situation, other situations different. It's what I was thinking and feeling, well, you were speaking earlier, Nanda, and Jordy, the artist, was how you say about power of thought. I felt once I started taking responsibility, it was extremely freeing. There was no longer anger. Sure, disappointment things were there, but you could bring it back to the self to see the moment where you made a decision that got you there. And it could be brutal at times because you have to look at yourself with total magnifying glass and say, gee, I stayed in this situation because I had a fear of this, and so it manifested into all this, and this is what I need to work out of now. I also see it as a arc that we have lost. As children, we're born, and the first thing we do is, we cry. We know how to get things. We know how to make it happen for us. It's in us. And then as we're being guided by people that love us and all the other things, we start learning a tremendous amount of fear. The titles come in, to bring in the disease to come in. But be careful with this, you're going to get hurt. Be careful with that. And we start losing all kinds of ability of thinking as we did as in nature. You know, you have a thought, you're hungry, you cry, you get your food. It's really that simple if we know how to carry that on for the rest of our lives. I'm not saying we cry or throw a tantrum. I'm saying recognize that a thought pattern could trigger something that you could get things that you need. Like you say, when you talk about finances, not until we're ready to receive. And by receive, it's not saying, you know, I want to have this amount of money or that. It's a knowing, it's a sensation where you're now feeling comfortable with it for the first time, where there's no judgment, there's no preconceived notion of anything you might have heard or learned. most of us, I feel we have this guilt about if we make money, that means we're one of the bad guys. We're one of these people that we railroad people to get it. And if we hear that from the time we're young, that's our perceived conception. And unless we're able to step out of that and to know that it's back to the same thing, you know, things are necessity, how to go about them. I myself have suffered from certain things when I've gone to visit my daughter. She lives in an area that rains for many days, over 100 days consecutive. And on the fifth day that I'm there, I start feeling what I call jointy, not the fever, not the flu, just an unnatural sensation within my body that I'm not used to. And so this happened the first year, the third, the fourth. By the fifth year, I'm like, why is this happening? And more important, why am I even letting it happen? Why am I letting it lead me by the hand down so that I know I have to lay down for 24 hours and then I'm up? I'm saying, no, I'm not letting you take my hand. You're not going to take it down. And it's never happened ever since. I've never done anything different but confront it, face it. With the anger of, no, I've been very complacent, and I've just followed that feeling of, oh, I'm getting cold, I'm getting chilly, let me get covered, let me make the tea, go to bed. No, I keep changing the diapers with the grandkids, I keep playing, I keep doing things, I jump on the trampoline, and the strength, my daughter's like, oh, my mom, look at you, mom, how you doing? I said, I'm feeling great. She says, you don't get sick anymore? I says, no. I used to get sick all the time for 24 hours whenever I went there. So I apply that for everything that I see myself going down in a way. I'm not saying that I don't go, but I see myself and I catch myself. And it's like putting those brakes. And you really have to go strong on the brakes and just not go down that road. But if you do yourself in a situation, thank you, love. If you do find yourself with a situation where you have a child with an illness, where you have something else, the perception of how you see it changes so much. And I'm going to use myself as an example again. My daughter has just given birth to her third child. She's had three very successful home birthing. I'm a mom, and so I'm an over and a grandma, and I'm overdrive concerned, you know, about the children, condition, my daughter and all that. That's my natural state of being. How do I deal with it? I go into like, okay, but not until I know for sure, let me not go into that area. Although I'm in that area, I trick myself into saying I'm not in the area. I'll be in it if I really have to be in it. And believe it or not, it works. By me lying and tricking to myself, saying I'm not really there because it really hasn't happened, you're not in it, so you could dismiss this feeling, it goes away.
And I want to just elaborate on that. I want to elaborate that because it's very profound. If we really get, and that's my intent to get it tonight for myself, because, again, I'm always talking out loud on the show, to hear myself. I remember, again, maybe about 2 weeks ago, I started feeling what could be a fever blister on my upper lip. I never get them. And it was getting hotter and tingler, and I said, this is absurd. I'm going to deconstruct this. Is exactly what Sabrina's saying, because she's right on track. And I actually started going back into the field of my lips being beautiful. I mean, they're healthy, whatever, you know. It never surfaced. And that's what I do with my ankle. That's what I do with my severed finger. That's what I do when I have any kind of a disoriented energy in me. I come back to the present moment, and I actually reconstruct it. You know, if this is to be a happy dream, then I have to be completely clear that I am the maker of all I see. And that's all I ever try to do on this show. Because when I get that I am it, it changes everyone, and for the better, because I'm all about love. I'm an ambassador of love. So my intent is to bring everything in my perceptual reality to the state of God realization so that everyone knows that every circumstance that they're in is only a choice. They can choose again. Choose again. You know what? That diabetes was wonderful, son, but you know what? We're doing it different. We're going to play a different role tonight. Watch me. Watch how I shift that in you. And I shifted in you how? By feeling joy, by feeling peace, by feeling the elation of knowing I'm doing my passion. There cannot be sick children in an environment that's healthy. And that's the Bruce Lipton concept, you know, the scientist that says if you put the healthy, unhealthy cells in a healthy environment in a petri dish, they immediately transform. An instant, no time. So why would we choose to have something that we know, and again, this is not the Buddhist concept or, you know, the Om mindset. This is about if I'm in this physical reality, I want to dance. You know, this is a dream, so why not make it the best dream I can have it be? And how do I do it? By understanding the connection I have to source energy. It is there for me 100% 24/7. Why would I settle for less? Why would I settle for less than I desire to have as a physical manifestation of body or relationship or finances? Well, this goes back to the law of attraction, which is really not that. It's the law of reflection. What I assume makes itself known in my perceptual reality. I don't want to assume. I want to just put my attention, look in a direction, and there it is. And that's the way it works. Attention determines that. So I have, oh, my God, my back. You know what? I better go to a doctor. You know, what about x-rays? You know, after all, my family had it. It's heredity. Oh, my God, my whole life. What's back issues? Where does it come from? It's about insecurity. Every body issue, every one of the body issues in our physical body and our world, our body of work, is a mindset outpictured. Get to the core of it, like Lydia said. Yes. Once you get to the core of it, you understand it. You look at face to face. Oh, my God.
Yes.
It's done. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do it anymore. It's done deal.
And the thing is, if we would just look at the world and ourselves, our family, our children, in a different way, if we were innocent and no one told us that that was a disease, and no one told us that that child was born with a deficiency, if we didn't know that, would it be real or would it just be a part of what goes on? And we go back to the beginning, what we learn. We learn a lot of fear. We learn a lot of things. And I myself came to that conclusion when I was getting ready to have my first daughter, when she was my only daughter, when she was 39, and then the children, that I said, we are so trained to, how's the baby? Baby okay? Yeah, the baby's okay. 10 fingers, you know, the toes, the whole thing. It's a nervous conditioning as compared to, here's the child. Here's the child. It's that simple. And so if we walk into it, just here is the child, here's your child, and it's given to you, and you love that child, we're free. We're so free of everything else and even passing on that judgment onto the child and laboring the child has this, has that. So if we go into Jordan, I love the peace, because when I feel peace, and when you said peace, I have to share with you what came to my mind was peace. Peace is the aphrodisiac of my intellect. When I am totally at peace, I could be either very creative or totally just in peace. What I call just being in the hammock without a thought or a mile a minute, and I know all the wonderness of my life and everyone else and creation and the planet, universe, and all of it. But there's so much pain connected to the programming, and if we could just learn how to chip away at the programming and go back to we know nothing, and we see it all as great, beautiful, and it's okay. And every time we go back to the programming, remember you have a base that you can go back to. It's not being in denial. It's recreating your truth. Your truth could be very different than the one you were raised to. Because the way I look at it is, go ahead.
I can tell you one really simple way to actually bypass the programming. The programming is a funny thing, because the way that the programming works is that it has to be used frequently in order for it to really be well-tuned. It's not unlike an engine of a car. If you don't run the car regularly, the engine just won't run very well anymore. And the programming within our own computer brains is actually very, very similar to that. Luckily, we have so many different areas of our brain that we can actually use to process our thoughts on, that if we are aware of one thing, which is that the words that we use are actually specific inner energy vibrations that set off key domino effects of neural pathways within our own brains, if we simply avoid those words, it's virtually impossible for your brain to implement the programming which you've spent years brainwashing yourself through fear of being punished. Basically, is really the only reason why we ever induce the programming, is because we're afraid of reprimand. That's what we learn from our parents. That's when our parents, who are humans, become God to us, as opposed to recognizing the God within and around us that we are. And so anyways, the bottom line is, if you control your language, if you focus specifically on And I mean really focus on not even using the word not. I mean getting as basic as you can to where you only reflect terms of peace. And you simply do that as much as possible. And while you do that, you are always in a meditative state of breathing deeply in through the nose and then out through the mouth. If you just do that and don't use anything, don't rethink anything, don't say anything, don't just... It really is as simple as that. Don't use words that
I'm
going to
play devil's advocate, Drew. But I got to play devil's advocate. There are people that are in all kinds of dysfunctional mindsets right now. Some of them are mute. They can't even talk. Some of them don't even speak the language. Some of them are children. They're still going to absorb the energy in the environment as they come in. So Lydia is correct when she says when that baby comes in and we just see it as love. But you see, most aspects of us in this reality called this phone call aren't in the state of remembrance that you are, that God is, and I could be in peace. And I could just stop using that word, and it's fine. There's a lot of us that aren't even into verbiage. They can't talk. They can't hear. They can't see, whatever. And they're still living the effects of their environment because they don't know that they can choose again. They can't see it. They can't hear it. They can't speak it. So somebody has to take responsibility for their environment, and I want to be that one. So I want to be the one to transform for me, in my perceptual reality, all dysfunction. And the only way that I can do that is to come back to peace, as you say. In this environment, I give myself an hour and a half to remember, to recapitulate the mindset that God is, I am. And when I go there, I feel it. And I know that anyone here that is in this call and in this environment on any level is going to shift. Their cells are already changing. And not because of anything I'm saying, because I am without a shadow of a doubt certain that everything that's coming through me is pure. And so what Lydia says is really the knowing. I know that everybody that's on this call tonight will not be the same. And not because of any thought that I'm bringing forth. It's just this inner knowing that I am so connected to love and the source of all being right now that it is changing the dynamic and the DNA of myself and my world. And that's all I ever want to show anyone, is that everyone has the same power to bring forth the God I am in their perceptual realities, to make manifest miracles beyond anything that they could have thought of with the brain, which you refer to. The brain is clueless where I am. It's all about the mind, the higher knowing that God is in charge of my reality, and I just let it flow through me. And as I let it flow through me, everything around me is going to feel different after this moment because I am. It's all about me working on me. And I really have nothing to teach. I'm only here to be a present for God, to be the state of remembrance that God is in charge of this entire reality, and all I have to do is receive it. And when I receive it, my world is fed. And they're taught, there's no verbiage. It's just a knowing that I know love is the only answer to anything that ails anything. I don't want to reach for the man. I don't want to reach for the phone. I don't want to reach for the doctors. I don't want to reach for the employers, the clients, the whatever. I am is God, realized. And so is everybody on this call. And there's somebody else here. Let me just open this line. Give me one sec. Hello, who's calling from 229? Hello, who's calling from 229?
Hi, yes, ma'am. My name is Melvin. I'm calling from Georgia.
Hello, how are you, love?
I'm doing okay, yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call.
Are you feeling the energy of tonight's call? Do you feel a little difference in your being right now? Do you feel a little hope?
Yes, ma'am.
What did you want to share, love?
Well, I was calling to see, were you taking any questions?
I sure am. What's on your mind tonight, love?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Two things. It's like I'm in Georgia, and I work at a hospital at night, and they're going to close down December 31st, and I just want to know, like, what are you picking up on me as far as employment after they close, or Will I be
okay?
Okay,
let me tell you again. This call is about being self-realized. This call is knowing that you're one with God, that you can have anything you've ever dreamed of, that you can change any situation. So why do you think that your job is closing? What does it mean to you? I mean, what do you, are you have aspirations to do more than you're doing?
Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. Definitely.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that strongly. So what do you think that you're making manifest for yourself if this job was to close and you are going to leave it, let's just say, hypothetically speaking?
Well, I definitely am going to go back to school. I only have like 8 classes away to get my bachelor's degree in middle grade education. So I'm going to go back to school, but I have already applied for other jobs, other hospitals, and I just wanted to see how those unfold for me. But I have...
Okay,
all right,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go on. No, you go on.
But, yeah,
go
but
on.
I have, you know, start making efforts to prepare myself for the future, for my, you know,
yeah,
for my
finances. Yeah, I can feel that. And you know, I'm not a psychic. I'm not here to do psychic readings because, again, you know, we all can see into the future, but in truth, the future is so infinite that we can walk into any reality we want to. I feel your energy, and your energy is very about being proactive. You're not about being a victim on any level. You will not be without everything you need. And whether you choose to go to work for that or whatever, I believe that you already got it. And I want to let Jordy in on that. Jordy, what do you want to add to this angel's question?
Well, my first thought was when he said he was preparing for the future, I'm taking that as in, because I don't believe in time myself. I believe in only
right.
Now. That means that right now you have already started to make adjustments for the new now that you are in versus the old now that you just were in, where you had the security of the previous situation, and it means you're aware of the changes. So what changes are you aware of that you are actually adjusting to right now that you're seeing as being adjustments for your future, so to speak?
Well, yes, the changes I'm aware of and what I'm doing to try to move forward for my future is to be more proactive, like, you know, for us going out and submitting my applications to other jobs, getting involved, trying to get back in school to get my degree. I can graduate next year. Well, I will graduate next year, next spring, because I only have 8 classes, and I want to be able to coach football because I'm a football coach in Georgia. And I'm not coaching, but I'm not coaching this season. But I hope to get back on the football field this season. So I am, you know, laying my ducks in a row, putting in applications at different schools as well for coaching for next year, and also being prepared when we get ready to close. If we close, I don't know. Maybe we'll get a blessing. But
all right.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So... That's where I'm at right now.
What did you do today? Like, what was your day like today?
Well, today was a resting day for me because, you know, I work at night, and I rest today. But tomorrow in the morning, I'm going to get back on my projects and be able to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
okay.
I'm not the type of person that sit around and wait. I like getting in people's face and talking to them and see what my options are. And
yeah,
no available, you know.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, it sounds like you've got a lot of gears turning. I don't think you're missing any gears. I think the machinery that makes you who you are is a pretty well-rounded machine. I think that you understand your strongest points, and you understand what you want, and you know how you fit into the puzzle. You know, I mean, basically,
right.
You're going to have a lot. You're going to have a lot of options. I mean, you're probably going to be coaching and probably going to be continuing on in your field both. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't be doing both those things. I think anybody that hears the variety of interest and also the well balanced way that you're speaking about them is going to recognize that you're a stable person, that you're you're not trying to over excel past the point. You're trying to basically just stabilize the point that you're in. That makes you a solid year. You know, that's a solid position to be at in the organism of life that we all share. That's beautiful. You've got really like everything going for you. I mean, there's really no weak link in your chain that I can see here.
Right.
And I sense with you a connection to source, a connection to God. You know, God wills it, and that's the most beautiful essence of your being, is that you really do have faith in the higher realm. You know that, you know, your cards are in that field, and I really believe that, you know, you're doing what you're called to do. You're really doing what you're called to do, and just stay focused on that, and don't let yourself deviate. Joy Day says is exactly true. You're gonna have everything coming to you, but you gotta stay in that focus of knowing that there is a higher source, that there is this God, which we're talking about tonight, the God realized state, that we know we're one with God, you know, but we can't lose sight of that, you know. Anyway,
yeah.
Anything else you wanted to share, love?
Yeah. Oh, thank you, you all. That pretty much covered, but, you know, I am a single man, but I do have interest in a woman. I just want to know maybe what do you all think of that?
What do you think of that? What do you feel about that? Because it's all about you, huh? What we feel doesn't matter. It's what you feel. What are you feeling about it?
I feel like it's when you try to, you know, wonder why you so infatuated about a person and all these feelings and emotions start rolling around, and I'm like questioning myself, what makes me, why am I feeling this way about this person, and she doesn't even know it. So
What if that person just represented what you feel about yourself, and you don't know it yet? You know, because every relationship shows us really what we feel about ourselves. And if she's attracting you like that, it's you. It's an inner calling thing. You know, I'm worthy to be loved. I feel loved. I feel lovable. And just keep feeling that, feeling what it feels like to be loved. And I tell you that woman will start noticing you. You won't even have to extend yourself. But you've got to feel it, believe it's you, believe you've got that in you, and you can't want for anything. And that's what I feel is happening with you tonight. Even you calling this you know, show tonight is that you're really starting to awaken in you your abilities to be, you know, the man you are, to be loved, to be respected, to be cared about. And the more that you take care of yourself the way you've been taking care of yourself, the more she's going to show up. And I really believe it is she. And that's just my belief and, you know, what I'm observing from this beautiful mirror called you tonight. What about you, Jordan? Do you want to add to that?
Sure. The most attractive thing about you, sir, that I'm able to tell from this vantage point is your stability. Again, I got to fall back on that, because I know from personal experience that a lot of women are particularly drawn to men that are stable. And the thing is, being stable as you are means that you're not necessarily one to take a lot of high risk, random kind of chances in your day. Am I right?
That's true. Definitely. Yes, sir.
And it's a double-edged sword for you, because you probably feel like in order to get that woman, you got to reach out there and take some kind of a chance, because that's kind of what we're sort of supposed to think, I think, at some points, you know, when people talk about relationships and all that. But I'll tell you who actually ends up getting those good women, the ones that really are worth having around, are the guy that shows up every day by clockwork, and he's there doing his thing. You know, he's always there. He's on time. He's dressed up nice. You know, he got shaved and everything, and he's there. He's happy to be there. He's not acting like a fool. He's not jumping around, you know, trying to do a tap dance show for her and act like an idiot. He's just there, and he's nice, and he's humble. And he's, how are you? And you look nice today. You know, can I buy you a cup of coffee? Whatever it is. You know, it's the fact that you're there. You're there. You're there. You're there. Your routine is solid. You're a solid person. You're a stable person. And you're going to find, and you may not realize it right now, but you might even have women right now that are also there, coincidentally, in the same place you are every day. And you might look around from this point forward and say, you know, I just know that she's always there. She's always happy to have a conversation. She's, you know, you may not realize that that's the person you can actually go out to the movies with, but throw it in the conversation. Just throw it out there because it's the same thing. It's a stability thing. She's going to say, you know what, I can count on this guy. He's not going to be a jerk. He just wants to go out to the movies. I know he's stable. I've seen him 100 times here. You know what, why not? It's going to be like that kind of thing. Why not? And then, you know, the why not's going to turn into, wow, this is kind of nice. This is relaxing. This is stable. I like that. Women like stability. They want to build a nest in that. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yeah, exactly. And actually, there is, you know, that's great. And I thank you.
You're on the right track, Angel. Yeah, beautiful. And thank you for calling. We're honored to meet you. I'm honored to meet you. You're a gentleman. Very, very honored to meet you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. And thank you, sir.
You're so welcome. And, you know, stay on board. We're going to do some more talking and hopefully get some more calls that we can work with. And, again, have a beautiful night, and God bless you. You know, I know you're on the right track. Just you can feel secure with us tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
thank
right,
you.
Call us back.
God bless
call
you
us
all.
Back. Give us an update.
All right.
Yeah,
I will.
All right, sweetie. And, again, let me just give that information now. My email is anandaoflove@aol.com. That's Ananda, A-N-A-N-D-A, @aol.com, Ananda of Love. And Joyda, you want to give your information?
Well, sure. I'm on Facebook, Joyda the Artist, J-O-R-D-E, first name and last name is just the artist. I'm a mural painter and room transformation type artist in Florida. And, you know, I travel all around the state doing that sort of thing. So you can find me on there. You can email me at joydatheartist@yahoo.com if you like to.
Yeah, and my site is mindmending.net. I do private counseling and you know, sessions, readings, whatever. And we do the show every I say Thursday at midnight. It's really Friday at midnight, Friday, you know, 12 a.m. And, you know, we do it every week, and I try to bring people to a place of inner peace on some level and to know that they're one with God. That's my teaching, and that's what I've come to realize myself, and I like sharing it with those that call. So please feel free to call back anytime or email either of us, and we'd be happy to help you. All righty. And again, I want to give the number here. I don't think I've given it yet tonight. And the number to call in, callers, is 646-595-3440. And again, that's 646-695-3440 with any questions you might have or anything you want to work through tonight. And so, Joyda, you know, the call, I think we've got, well, we've answered all the callers so far, and, you know, I don't want to open the call again to those. I think we've answered them, you know, sufficiently where they feel a sense of peace about themselves or maybe some answers that may not have had before. Anything that you want to share that we haven't discussed yet about, you know, coming to the state of realization that, you know, we do have the power to change situations?
Sure. It's very interesting. I was just speaking with an associate of mine about some of the greater catastrophes that we experience as a collective human race. And one of those would be like Hurricane Katrina. And it's a fascinating thing to consider for a moment because it's absolutely true that many, many, many of us are sitting at home in our living rooms watching these events unfold on the television, and we're in this complete state of detachment from what's going on with others who are equal to us in another, you know, section of the planet, as if it was, you know, a universe away, like as if it was so far away. And we watch and we see these people losing their homes. And it's a funny thing to consider because on one hand, we all could flood over there and basically be helping them, you know, not unlike the way that our own body sends its antibodies from, you know, the right side of your body to the left side of your body. If your left hand is bleeding, it's not like your right hand is like, we don't need to send over the white blood cells to clog those that bleed up. Let's just let it bleed. You know, your body recognizes that your left hand is part of it, and therefore we should, you know, all your cells should come together and do some healing. But when it comes to the human species, and actually, I suppose all animals, really. I don't think that generally all animals of the animal kingdom rush to a section where there's a tragedy that falls. But if you flip that around and you consider it further to what you were saying, which is about acceptance, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, no, they're losing their home. But as tragic as it seems it can be, it's another thing to realize, well, it is just a house after all. You know, it is just stuff. It is just, you know, them in water. I mean, it doesn't have to be a tragedy. And I think that in a weird kind of way, there could be a sort of a peace that actually does come to realization in those times of tragedy, because I think it humbles everyone, because everyone realizes, well, their physical existence is obviously a fragile and clearly temporary state. And we don't try to fight that. We kind of give up, you know. We just sort of submit ourselves to it. And when you do that, you actually come to a very peaceful place of realization. We don't wish for anyone to suffer, but then again, it is everyone's choice whether or not they choose to suffer or not. And I can say that with complete confidence that you or I, or probably many of the people who have even called in and spoken tonight, I don't think we'd be running around frantically, oh no, you know, there's a hurricane, if there was a hurricane. I think we would probably stay in this similar state of peace we're in now. And I think we would, you know, be casually looking for some shelter, whatever, and, you know, holding on to something and thinking, well, if we die, this is when we die, right? I mean, we're not going to be, like, frantic. And what would be the point? What would be the point of worrying about that? What would be the point of calling that a tragedy? Why not just experience that?
You brought something up very interesting. Immediately, I got the image of the television and how I don't watch television and, you know, I don't do the news. So for me, like with the Colorado situation, I had no idea it was happening. So in my perception of reality, it wasn't real. And not until I was buzzed into it by aspects of me, which was still parts of me that were saying, you know, what's happened, well, whatever, whatever, and then I see it. And in that moment, I have a choice to choose again. If I choose again, it's off the TV. It's a channel that I'm choosing to watch. And it goes back to the basic concepts that I came on with tonight. You know, it's where I put my attention. And there's a lot of parts of my world that are suffering. And that doesn't make me feel any less than them or more than them because they're suffering. Why shouldn't I be suffering? Or, you know, I'm great and they're not. No, I feel everything. But it's my choice whether to stay in that suffering mode or to transcend it and to go back to love, because I know that my thoughts and my feelings actually do trigger a response in the field. So everything that I allow to take residence in my body and my mind and my spirit is affecting my world. So even if, let's say, for instance, I do watch television and I did turn on the news and there is the Colorado situation, the more I pay mind to those poor souls that are suffering, the more there will be the suffering in those poor souls. So when I all of a sudden see a rescue in me and I say, you know what? Wow, look at those. Look at that performance. What a grand performance that my world is performing for me, so I could feel what it feels like to be lost as they are. Thank you, God. And then come back to the moment and remember this is an illusion. It's Maya. Everything is based on a belief system outpictured. And I can choose any one of the above. Why would I choose where there is suffering and pain? Why wouldn't I choose just being here with the flowers and the children and the laughter and the joy? And the more that I see that and feel that and be that, the more it expands, you know? And so that's my only real purpose of being here as a spirit called Ananda of love. And that really is to try to bring me back to the stabilization of the remembrance that God is I am. And I tell you that, for me, it's a work in progress. I'm not completely there. I hate people. I love them. I fear them. I'm great with them. You know, I go through this tap dance of remembrance of what it was like to be in a programmed state where I was taught not to like her or not to want him in my environment or not want or to work for the money. The programs. And the programs are so deeply embedded and encoded in myself that I don't even know that they're occurring. But my world is showing me, because there is no discordant energy when I'm conscious. I see that everything is just a mirror showing me what I can't see. Thank you, God. I didn't know that was still in my sensory experience. All right? It's in myself. I can get over that. I got it. And what about that? And what about that? And does it take a lot of work for me? It's a blissful experience. But from the perceiver who's listening to this, you know, they might say, well, all I got to do is do OM. And that's cool. Do it. Do OM.
you know, I've been through the evolution of consciousness, and I did OM. I did OM in mind. I'm doing OM in another reality. But now that I understand that this experience is to fully actualize what it's like to be in a physical body as God, you know, and with that in mind, I want to raise the dead. I truly want to, I want every child on the planet, in my experience, to be in bliss, knowing that they have the power to heal and transcend any of their childhood circumstances. I have a little girl that calls me that's in such physical and emotional pain because of a relationship, and that's all from the foundation of her parental, you know, model. And she came into it. They danced, all three of them, and all 10 of them, and how many people in that family. And now she is in agony because she gets it, and she doesn't know how to get out of it. And she's only a kid. I want to change that. How can I change it? I've got to change it in me. I've got to be aligned to the fact that love is the only way. Love is the only way. And it's not about attaining wealth. It's not about attaining relationships. It's not about, you know, bringing in that which I so need to fill me. I have to be full until I see it. And I keep fulling, letting God, the giver of all, give me all so that I can bestow it upon my kingdom. Because we are all the masters of our own universe. If we allow it to be, or we're victims of somebody else's. And if we become victims, we are lost. And when we're lost, we lose the opportunity in this mindset to enjoy the fully actualized state of being the dreamer that can do anything he wills to do with his own dream, you know? And so that's what I feel. And I really feel it right now, as I said, in every cell of my being. I really feel like there's something kind of a refinement happening in the alchemical process of Ananda I am. And it isn't anything about a body called me or a state of mind called, you know, an intellect. It's just about this knowing. It's an exuberance that I can't even explain, and I don't want to explain. My world will show me exactly what I feel in every moment. So that's my spiel for right now.
I like that you mentioned about the watching the television. I don't watch television really much as far as a normal thing myself. And you're really right. You're really, really right about that. Because that reality is not the reality right in your immediate existence. And as much as we like to think, and we are really programmed to think, that's the only reason why we'd like to think it, that our existence is supposed to have an influence on someplace else. But that's not really our existence, is it? Our existence is really our existence. And is if we're trying to live our life for our happiness and to be able to share of our happiness and our love with others, we need to be able to focus on that reality, because otherwise we have nothing to share. If all we're doing is going to the television to be told what we're supposed to be thinking about, how are we supposed to share of ourselves with others when all we're going to do is share what's on the television? You know? I mean, it's a very simple thing, but it's really very true. And you know, we talk about this as if it's some normal thing to not watch TV, but so many people are always watching TV. I mean, always, always, always watching TV, like regularly every night, 3 or 4 hours watching TV, you know?
And for me, again, I've come to the realization of pure love. I really have reached the state of knowing that I love me because God did. I really did feel what it was like to be loved by God. And I found it in a mirror. That mirror reflected for me the truth of my being, which was total love. And that one aspect of me gave me the gift of all lifetimes. He said to me, there are no others. And I had been waiting for that statement for lifetimes in time. And I will tell you, when I got that there are no others, including a body called Ananda, God is all there is. And when I really got that, it gave me back all the power that I gave up as a body called Joanne as a child, as Jordy gave up as a body called Jordy as a child, and Lydia as a child. We gave up that power when we named something other than God. And the truth is, when I get there is no others, it loosens my reign. It actually allows me a sense of freedom, because I don't see the bodies as dying. I see them as dancing. look at them performing for me. How wonderful, because if they didn't show me that, I wouldn't know that I'm off course. Thank you. And if that person didn't die and I cried and wept and sobbed and died and, oh, my God, I wouldn't know that I still feel that bodies are real. I wouldn't know that this illusion was anything but a real state, and we all suffer and die and we go to heaven or hell. And my friend Dan, you know, this guy who, you know, is a completely, he's another one, creation itself. And he says, Ananda, you know what? I love you, kid. You know what? You really got it going for you. You got a lot of people following you. But you know what? I'm concerned because, you know, I don't know if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, and I think you might be going to hell after you die. And, you know, I go completely crazy because I say to myself, he's just telling me a belief system that I think that I'm still a body and I'm going to rot and die, you know? And I love it. But again, you know, this is the mindset that lurks around the spirit I am and tries to seduce me back into the illusion of believing that we could actually die or suffer or lose or be poor or have disease. And it's like, thank you, God, I got it. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dan.
You know, there's a dramatic difference between reading and believing and understanding the teachings of Jesus Christ and buying into the fear that is taught from the Roman Catholic Church. That's a very different thing. Very, very different thing. The Crusades were absolutely a different situation than Jesus the man, who reflected the God that we all know and love and was, you know, used as a source of literature. The teachings are brilliant works. I mean, there's nothing wrong at all with that, no matter how you look at it. You don't have to look at it from any perspective other than if you understand the teachings, then you understand why Jesus is someone that is a celebrated human being and what Jesus represents. You understand? Because Jesus was a man, and the divinity of that man is something...
If you buy into that,
if you believe that we're men, yeah. If you believe that we're alive, sure. I mean, if you believe that any of us are human or in existence, I mean, you can look at it from whatever angle you want. The fact is that the stories of Jesus are the stories of a human who experienced a divine inspiration that led him to realize that he was the Son of God, and he shared that with us. And if that story is a story that has to do with, you know, previous cultures that also came to the realization that the sun was a sun that gave them energy and life and rose every day and brought life to the crops, so be it. It's still the fact of the matter that we are all from the sun. I mean, that's a literal truth as well. So you can't say, oh, just because the sun happens to give the earth life, that negates the reality of that Jesus was a reflection of that life within our human existence, because it doesn't make any sense. They're both truth. There's no way to deny one just because of the other. And in fact, it makes sense because we only can reflect our own existence. We can only reflect the existence that we are, and we are of the sun. I mean, that is what we are. I mean, literally, figuratively, no matter how you want to look at it, you take the sun out of the equation, the earth is gone. So, you know what I'm saying?
It's a humbling
realization.
That's the fallacy. That's the fallacy. When we take the sun out of the equation, the earth's gone, there is no earth. It's just an illusion. The only truth is that we are a mind of absolute infinite potential. And that
is, to your point.
A world without a sun. You know, it doesn't matter. The fact is that for me, the teachings in the literal sense of Jesus walking the earth, in the sense that I experience them, is to really actualize what he was teaching. And it's not just, well, you know, I'm Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but I'm going to still go into the world and do everything he didn't do and claim rights to him. Now, this guy reads mafia books all day long, and I say, you know what? This is in my reality, and this is a nail in my reality that focuses on mafia and killing. But he is going to go to heaven. He's definitely going because he's saved. And I said to Dan, Jesus says, follow me. Not after I die, after you die. He says, right now, stop what you're doing, follow me. And that means there is
no distraction. You know, I keep getting this all week, and today it was so profound, and that's what, you know, I was sharing earlier, that God is a jealous God. What does that mean? He wants his attention on him, your attention on him, because when you're with him, you're good. You got everything. As soon as you divert and you take your attention and put it on another body called man, woman, disease, doctors, food, whatever, you're just disconnecting from source. You're taking the plug out of the powerhouse, you know, and you're putting it into something else in the world, and it's an illusion. So you can't get the power. You just keep putting the plug in, but there's no power. And what you're doing is you're draining yourself every time you take it from God. So my relationship, I'm, you know, with, let's say, an aspect of me that's showing me clearly that I'm taking my attention off God. You're always looking there, and the reality is the only answer is me, is God. And that's what Jesus was saying. It was so simple. Take your attention off of God. All four vitals will fall, and you'll weep every time they do. Because you know what? That chemotherapy is going to work, and then it's not. And that relationship's going to be happy, and then he's going to die. And
the crucifixion was the symbolic crucifixion. This is what it represents, is our realization that our energy is eternal, that the rise of Jesus, you know, rising from the
above
dead,
it,
so to speak,
the body,
is actually just the eternal nature of our energy being reflected. And that's to show us all we have nothing to fear in death. That was what Jesus was demonstrating and all that.
Right, and the body is a manifestation of the world. The body is the material realm. And he's saying, and I share this all the time, I'm giving up this body. I'm nailing it to a cross to show you it's not real. It's a costume. And you know how he's going to know it's a costume? Because I'm going to show you my body in 3 days. I'm going to transcend the body, mind, and spirit, which is equivalent to the three mindsets. I got to transcend the three levels of experience, and then I will show you my spirit. And you know what? It's a rainbow body. You're going to see me, even though it's my spirit. And that's all biblical. But for me, I don't read it. I get it. It comes through because I'm so receptive to it. And it's only my personal relationship with the God I understand. And he says to me, you don't have to do what I did. You can come to me now. And when I say come to me, you don't have to leave the physical body. Just come to me, love. Stop saying she's good, he's bad. I want that, I don't want that. Because those choices in the realm of the Maya or the illusion is it a state of disillusionment. You can't be happy in an illusion. It's a mirage. You get there and there's no drink. You know, you get there and
you
there's
know,
no
drink. You know, I really do like what you said about the sun. If the sun itself is an illusion. That's a pretty profound thing to say. Because, you know, you're right. I mean, the fact is, if the sun wasn't there, the earth wasn't here, our energy, the stuff that we still are, would still exist. The molecules that we are still, you know, in our dense form still would be, in some form or another, would still be, and the energy that's flowing through us would still be. I mean, we know that because we can see that anyways. I mean, in lots of ways we can see that. There's a lot of examples of the eternal energy everywhere. I mean, all we know is that. That's all we actually know. It's so funny. It's so funny to me how people will try to dispute the fact that we are. I mean, it's like it's the most nonsensical, ridiculous, we are here. This is a discussion we're having. Even if it's an illusion, it's still something because it's an illusion. An illusion is something. An illusion is not nothing. An illusion is something. It's a perception. And the fact that we're perceiving something means we are receiving something. What are we receiving? We're receiving energy. It's flowing through us. We're feeling it. We're experiencing it. That's what life is. It's very simple. I mean, yeah, you're right. It always takes you back to the root of all things, you know?
And it's a relative reality. And that in itself, if you want to get scientific, it's relative. That means it's relative to the perceiver's belief system. So there's nothing absolute in a relative reality because there's nothing that can be claimed to be absolute. So the only absolute is God is. God is. What's God? It's infinite. What is infinite? I don't even know. I don't have a clue on what God is. All I know is that when I allow it through me with non-constriction, no
blocks, no corks in my system. It works. There's a dance performing, and it's so divine, and there's no pain and suffering, and it just feels like what God might feel like, what love in the highest state might feel like. And that's what I desire for me to experience so I can shed it and share it and sprinkle it on everything in my world. You know, and so for me, like I said, I don't, you know, I'm very much alone in this, in my mindset, and I dance in a world that appears to be real, you know, including a bed and new bedspreads and my father who I cook for and I clean for and I do everything for. In my illusion, I believe this is my life, but I can choose again at any moment and not choose again to have better or worse. Just say, okay, I'm ready to fully actualize the next level. I was sitting in my car yesterday, and my son has been really inspiring me to be on my own, so to speak, and to do something for me, which I never had to do my whole life because everything was always handed me. But now a part of me is saying, but, you know, maybe it's time to be the doer, which is like everything I'm against. But anyway, and my father's saying, yes, take money and go do it. And I'm like, what? You know, like, what? And then all of a sudden, I got this sense of such value. You know, I thought I had it. I thought God is, I am. And all of a sudden, I really felt like I had all the money on the planet, and I could do anything I wanted to do with it. And I just sat. And my son said, so why aren't you making a move? I said, because there's too much to do now. It's like I can have anything. I want to be more selective. But it wasn't a mental aha. It was a truly, you know, it was a feeling tone of knowing, as Lydia said earlier. It is that knowing I really am the heir. And all I had to do was make peace with the program that I called Daddy, who told me I was not valued my whole time in space-time continuum called Joanne, which is only now. And I said, oh, God, I finally feel like I got it. My daddy loves me. My daddy is giving me I am the heir to the kingdom of heaven. He's giving me heaven itself. And all of a sudden I said, I don't know what to do now. And why do I think I have to do? Because I have everything. I never had to do before. So as soon as the mind, the brain, the concept, that program response machine gets that you got it, you got money, even though I don't know if it's any tangible money, but for me, I feel rich. It wants you to do something. You got money, you better do something. You better invest.
Money only represents our ability to influence circumstances and events and people and et cetera. And as far as our ability to influence goes, it absolutely has no bearing on how much paper you're holding in your hand. The paper only represents it. It only makes it easier to be lazy. It's ironic. Wow. If you have a whole handful of paper, then you don't have to convince someone they should listen to you. But you could just convince them and not have the paper either.
Well, the Course in Miracles says that money's love. Everything's love. It doesn't matter. But the point I was trying to bring up is that, you know, it's amazing how it's like the ego, which you call, you know, ego, and I call just a child, is really waiting. It's like waiting for the right move. Okay, you got it. Now you got to move. You know, you got the money. You got it. Okay, you're rich. Now you got to do something with it. I never had to do before. What would I have to do now? So I have to be vigilant for God and his kingdom 24/7. I used to call the Satan self. Right in and scoop it right out of me, my inheritance, by distracting me, by taking me off of what I've come to realize that God is, I am. We got 3 minutes left or 2 minutes left, so I'm going to end tonight with saying thank you, Lydia, for being here, and Jordan was my co-host tonight. Maybe we can have you next time, Lydia. I would love to have you on with me. And the caller, 812-772, thank you for being here. I love you all so deeply, and I want you guys feel the love tonight. Feel the love. Let yourselves dance in the merriment of knowing that they're one with God. Good night, everybody. I love you. Jordan, you want to close it?
Sure. I just would like to invite everyone to do what I do every day, which is when you stop listening to this, and thanks for calling in, everyone, too. I really appreciated all the phone calls myself. Just look around your immediate space and come to the realization that what you're seeing in front of you is completely up to you as to how you perceive it. And I do that all the time. I take paintbrushes and paint walls and change my reality quite literally. But before I put the paint on the wall, I actually have to visualize and see and realize the world that I'm actually standing in, because that's the world I'm about to reflect. And that's the same choice you all have every day, every second of your existence, is to realize that every bit of the space around you is a space that you have the ability to influence and control and reflect the world that you want to see. And if you see it strongly enough, then other people within your space will see it as well, and then you can share yourself with them through your reflection of who you are. So go and do it.
That's beautiful, Jordan. And again, I thank you all. Have a beautiful week. And remember, loving. Loving is the key. Let your body feel the vibration of what it's like to be loving you. Let God love you, and then extend it outwards. Good night, everybody. Have a beautiful week.